It's often the little things, small behaviors, that can change our lives. That's the power of a financial edge. I'm Ed Meek. I'm a financial advisor with a passion to help you retire early, save more, and live better. Welcome to Ed's Edge, the podcast to help you live the life you've always wanted. I like to thrive. I mean, who doesn't, right? And I'm talking about in every area of life, thriving, health-wise, financially, in relationships. Today, we're trying to help you thrive financially. And we believe that the best way to do that is understanding the five pillars of financial planning and how if you get those down, you will thrive.
I'll call it the five pillars of financial success too. I mean, yeah. You know, it's thriving is such a attractive word. And part of the reason why we wanted to talk about these five pillars is really, you know, we talk to a lot of people, both inside and outside of work, and they we explain, you know, we're implementing financial planning, and we've realized they'll ask, what is financial planning? What does that entail?
Yeah.
And so that's what prompted us to talk about this topic today.
Right. There's a lot of topics in the financial world that people hear, right? And they kind of know what they mean, but they don't understand exactly everything. So our goal today is to help you fully, comprehensively know what financial planning is all about.
That's right. That's right. It's not just investments. You know, we've explained it. I'm a financial advisor and, oh, what's the hot stock today? It's not what we're going to talk about.
I mean, as you know, I like cooking. I love food. You know, an analogy that I think when it comes to financial planning, it's kind of like when I'm ready to cook something, there's a lot that's in that, you know, is a part of that. I got to have all the right equipment, got to get all the bowls out, the cooking pans, the utensils, and then I have to have all the ingredients. I got to go buy the right ingredients, and then I have to do it the right way so it comes out right.
Yeah.
Correct. And so I think it's the same thing when it comes to financial planning. Like, there's a lot of steps. There's these five key steps. And then how do you implement them? What tools do you use in order to make sure that each one works well?
And the recipe's right. It makes me think about something I was very guilty of early on. I was 16, 17, 18 years old. I had a beater car. And I just thought, okay, put gas in the car and drive it and you'll be fine. Right? Boy, was I wrong. You know, I had to make sure the tires were good every 50,000 miles. I had to make sure, you know, the transmission was okay. How's the engine looking? You know, all those type of things too. It's not just putting gas in the car. It's not just the investments. We're talking big picture financial planning here. So with all that said, let's get started on what are these five pillars of financial planning. So as you can see on this slide here, we've got five different areas, right? We've got estate planning, we've got insurance planning, we have retirement planning, and then investments and tax. And so we're going to tackle each one at a time. So definitely recommend for those of you that want to learn about these areas, take out a pen and paper, follow along with us and write down some things that might resonate with you.
Let's start with estate planning. This is an area that people have heard, but they don't fully understand and know exactly what is entailed with that. The primary areas of estate planning would be making sure you have kind of your estate in order, both while you're alive and especially when you pass it on. So that's making sure everything's set up right. We hear about wills and trusts and power of attorney. These are vehicles that are used to help people make sure that when something happens to them, if they get sick and they can't do something, then a power of attorney kicks in. A lot of us who are a little bit older are pretty familiar with, sometimes they need to get a power of attorney. A friend of mine, for example, that we know, his father has just started having a little bit of dementia.
Yeah.
And
it's too common nowadays, you know?
But yeah.
It's there.
And he is now helping his dad with all of his financial stuff. And while his dad is still familiar with what's going on, you know, it's definitely a helpful thing to have that set up. So that's, you know, while you're alive. And then also just making sure your estate is structured in a certain way. So when you do pass it on, that it will be passed on in the most efficient way. And so wills are good things to always have, and sometimes trusts are good things to have. And so it's just helpful to make sure all of these things are in the right order, and also communicating this to the people who are going to be helping you do this, because you need to have like an executor that's going to be on the will. You don't want to like all of a sudden surprise somebody that they're the executor of the will and not know what's going on, or the trustee, which is the kind of like the executor of a will. An executor of a will, a trustee, helps take care of everything that's in the trust. So at the end of the day, it's important to make sure all the players who are involved in this, not just now, but in the future, will also be able to kind of play it out and make sure they know what's going on.
It's funny you say all that, because when we talk about estate planning with our clients, it's not typically the best conversation to have. People aren't excited to talk about how do I want to set up my estate. But when it's completed, the peace of mind we see people have from after it's all set, that breath of fresh air. I'm relieved. So important to get that right, so that you can have that, again, that one pillar covered and that fulfillment happen later in life.
Well, and people put it off a lot, right? I mean, we still have like clients we've been working with for years who maybe did it like 10, 15, 20 years ago.
And then rules change.
And then the rules change, everything changes. We have to understand that you don't need to do this all the time, but it's good to revisit every 3, 5, 7 years, because things change out there, and we got to make sure we're kind of, our wills and our trusts are set up and keeping up with the times.
That's right. Personal circumstances change too, that could warrant an amendment to it. So estate planning, yeah, big deal.
The last thing when it comes to estate planning is just make sure you have those documents secured in a really safe place. I mentioned this in a podcast long ago, but I was the executor of my dad's cousin's estate. And what happened was his will, we couldn't find. I helped him get it set up with the estate planning attorney. And what happened was we couldn't find it. Well, that's a big problem. You actually have to bring in to the judge when you go to court the actual will. He had done a will before, and if we didn't have the actual will, it could have reverted back and done it the way that the old will said, which would have left money to people he didn't want to leave money to. It would have messed everything up. And the last thing that's really important when it comes to this is we were just in a meeting recently, and you want to make sure all your beneficiaries on your retirement accounts are all set up appropriately. You get divorced, you have another child, or you don't put them on there, or somebody isn't on there, then we've seen people come in and inherit money that the people didn't want to happen. So it's important to get it all set up.
That's right. That's right. Estate planning, big deal. So number two is insurance planning. Another fun topic to some people. But when we talk about insurance planning, we think about avoiding the catastrophe, avoiding the disaster from occurring. The odds of these disasters occurring are low, but they can derail retirement plans. They can derail, you know, your life if you don't account for them.
Not just derail, they can blow it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You know, and so what are some areas of insurance planning that we help our clients with, and we highly encourage you to start thinking about is, you know, disability insurance if you're working. You know, there's some statistics that, you know, if you stop working if you're unable to work over a period of time, odds are your family is going to be in a world of hurt, especially if you're a single income earner. So disability insurance might be an important thing for you. Life insurance, we've talked about that plenty. That's a big deal. One item that we feel is frankly not talked about enough as we get older, long-term care insurance. I used to have what's called a 75-75 rule. Now it's turned into a 65-75 rule. Here's what I mean. If you live past 65 years old, there is a 75% chance you are going to need some form of long-term care.
Because you're going to be needing that kind of care?
Home health care, you know, going to a facility, things of that nature. We're living longer now. And so because we're living longer, we're going to need more care as we get older. And you have to think to yourself, can I fund that on my own? It's not cheap. Can I fund it myself? And if I can't, I need to get something to help cover that.
It's not cheap, but what you have to do is look at how much is this going to cost me per year compared to how much I have in investments. And this is, and I know you probably are getting really tired of me saying this in meetings, but this is the fly in the ointment for almost everybody's financial situation. Unless somebody has so much where they can kind of self-insure, they can generate enough money from their investments, most people are not in that spot. If one or both of the couples have to get long-term care for an extended period of time, it just literally sucks the investments away. And eventually, if it sucks them away and they're still alive, the worst case scenario is you're in a nice facility and you don't have the money anymore. Those facilities, I know this because I checked it out for my parents. Those facilities say, I'm sorry, you have to leave. Now you have to go to the facility that isn't as nice. And for those of us who visited people in nursing homes, the ones that aren't quite as nice, it's not pretty. Yeah. It's the care is not good. So this is something to strongly look into and consider. And one example I was thinking about when it came to the disability insurance, you know, we have some clients that are business owners. They're either on their own or they have a few clients or a few employees. If you don't have disability insurance and you're the primary breadwinner, I can think of one client who is in the real estate business. And if something happens to him and he didn't have his disability insurance, literally, poof, they're selling their house. They're downsizing. They have four children that are still young. And up until he got the disability, it was like, I was like, dude, you gotta get this because that's way more important than even life insurance. I mean, life insurance is important in some scenarios, but every area of insurance is super important because if you're not protected, that one thing happens, then it blows everything up. You could save, accumulate a really nice nest egg. Last example would be, imagine you're at your house and you, it's snowing out. You have, I don't know, a few couples over. And all of a sudden, you know, you didn't shovel the driveway. And you were supposed to. It got icy. And then your friend.
I don't like shoveling the driveway, yeah, first and foremost. So maybe I'm at risk here.
Rachel has informed me of that.
Yeah, that's right.
So your friend slips. It's your friend from childhood, breaks his neck, and now it's paralyzed. And he's your friend, but he's lost the ability to make, he didn't get disability insurance. And now the only way that he can live and survive and is possibly, unfortunately, sue you. And if he sues you and he wins, most like homeowners, car insurance, they end up covering up to like $500,000, maybe a little bit more. But if he wins $1 million or $2 million and you did that, like wins it, guess who pays the rest? You do.
Comes out of my pocket.
Screws up your whole retirement plan. So there's something called an umbrella policy. A lot of us have heard about it, but not everybody knows exactly what it is. And some people have it, but I'd say like half the time that people come in, we know this, they don't have it. So we're like, it costs $200, $300, $400, $500 a year to get $1-2 million. It's an umbrella over all of those in case you get sued. It just minimizes that risk of you losing that nest egg.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Another good one. So insurance in and of itself, make sure you have the right coverage, make sure you assess your own situation. Important topic.
Yeah. Third one, investment planning. So we could talk about this for an hour, right? Partly because we're experts, but also in the investment field, just take a look at this chart. It just shows all the different types of investments that are out there. And most of us are familiar with, you know, like you have money in the bank, savings, money market accounts, and then there's stocks and bonds, and people are generally familiar with that. Real estate, that's your home, but also some people do real estate investments. And then there's all the other types of kind of catch-all investments that are in there, art and collectibles, now crypto the last few years. And we kind of show going up along that spectrum, they can get a little bit more risky. In reality, the biggest thing about investments is if you own one of anything, one of one stock, one of one crypto, one of one collectible, really risky. So when it comes to investment planning, we want to make sure we diversify your risk across the board. Why is this important?
Yeah. So you want to avoid the disaster. Again, going back to all these scenarios, you want to avoid the disaster. You can hit a home run with some of these. You can also strike out. And it's when you're talking about building your wealth and money that you can't afford to make a mistake on, don't put yourself in a position where you possibly can. We just had a client that came in and they had inherited some money and they followed the advice of some services and turned their inheritance into many millions of dollars.
Yeah. It was a nice chunk of money they got, but they got it concentrated, right? And it worked.
It worked. It worked. However, they realized they're at a different phase now. Hmm. I've got all this money and it's heavily concentrated in a couple different stocks. What if the CEO gets hit by a car? The stock could drop in half. What if, you know, some outside forces come in? No fault of the companies even. And that's what we're talking about here is you never want to put yourself in a position with your investments where if something goes awry, you're in trouble. And that's what we're talking about with investments. I can't tell you how many times, too, we talk to people and they chase the hot thing. Mm. And they lose sight of their picture, what they're talking
about.
Well,
and if they, this couple is a great example of not doing what tends to happen. So what happens is if they concentrate and they're right and they do it right, then they have a hard time kind of unconcentrating. They have a hard time going back to what we're talking about. If you're trying to just create a nest egg that will take care of you and you've kind of accomplished most of what you wanted, you've grown it to what you wanted, or you're along the way, then you're going to be in good shape the rest of your life. If you keep it concentrated and things go awry, then it changes everything. And so it really depends on what are you looking to accomplish. A majority of people who are probably, you know, watching this right now are usually like, hey, if I've kind of near won the game, then I'd like to maybe take some risk off the table. I'm going to give one example. So when I was first half of my career, I worked at Fidelity Investments in what's called a retail branch. It was in Oak Brook, and people used to come in and there was a company, I'm not going to name the company, but it's down south in the southern suburbs by Tinley Park. And all of these people would come into the branch. And the way that they all became wealthy, and we're talking like the janitor and executives were coming in, and the company was putting money into the retirement plan in the company stock, and the company stock just exploded. And so this janitor came in with $1 million sitting in the company stock. His whole life, he was making whatever he was making, it wasn't a tremendous amount of money, but he was wealthy. And the executives were multi-millions. And when they came in, I was like, you know what? You're getting close to retirement. You're within 5 years. Let's diversify. And some of the people were like, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's take some off the table. Unfortunately, I remember the janitor, you know, didn't want to do that because he was like, this is like
working.
The best thing. It's working. It's the best thing ever. It's made me kind of have a nice chunk of money. Well, this was in the late 90s. And then there was something called the tech bubble that popped in March of 2000. And this company went bankrupt. And they literally, like the people who didn't listen, they lost almost or everything because you could concentrate it in the retirement account, like put most of your money into that. And I remember that one executive who, he was like so thankful. And I tell people, like, if you hold on to this and it works out, then you're going to be much wealthier. Like if it works out, you're going to be in an incredible spot. But if it doesn't work out, then you change your whole retirement plan. So our goal is just to minimize these kind of things, right?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. And developing the right investment strategy that makes sense for you. So number four, retirement planning. We know what this is. At least we think we know what it is, but we want to talk about it. What does it really mean? You think back to when you're in your early 20s and you're getting your first job and you're starting to make some money and mom and dad tells you, hey, start saving for retirement. And you're like, okay, I'll put some money in a 401k and I'll just let it go. And you just keep putting it in. Maybe develop a strategy and you just keep letting it go and go and go. And, you know, the market does well and you see your money growing and you're happy. And then you get in your 50s and 60s and you're thinking, okay, retirement's right around the corner. You know, I got all this chunk of money. I'll just live on my investments.
Right.
It's we understand that, yes, you want to do want to live on your investments, but we cannot use the investment strategy that we obtained getting to retirement to get through retirement. It's a very different strategy because the risk is so important when we're taking money off our investments.
Well, just this retirement planning, it's so important, just like you said, from the beginning and every single step. Like, it's important. You're balancing, like if you start having kids, right? You're balancing how much do I put in retirement? How much do I put in college savings? And then once you've already maybe been doing that for a while, then it's like, hopefully maybe you're getting raises. And then it's like, do I put more into that or do we buy a bigger house? Do we buy nicer cars? And so everything's a trade-off. There's no right or wrong answer, but every decision you make where you put more towards the retirement, it creates an environment where you can retire maybe a little earlier, or you could take out more income if you want to keep working longer. And so it's this idea of always making these choices and decisions along the way. And we've mentioned this before. There's incredible tools out there, retirement planning tools. There's incredible software out there. You can actually access good versions of this on your own and do this all on your own. If you don't want to do that or you don't feel comfortable doing that, then see a professional, a certified financial planner, someone who has almost, I mean, I don't know if I've ever met a certified financial planner that doesn't have access to one of these handful of great financial planning softwares. I mean, we have one, it's called Money Guide Pro. Another one's called eMoney. These softwares are incredible because they take into account all the different variables that help you anywhere, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whether you're almost ready to retire, you're still 5 or 10 years away and trying to figure it out. This is like super important. This is like, if you get this figured out, then all the other things really fall into place.
Yeah. My retirement plan should not be, I'm going to earn on average 8% a year and take out 6. It's not a linear approach. I mean, a couple other variables just to give you an idea on how complex retirement planning can be is, where do I take my money from? Do I take it from my tax-free account? Do I take it from my taxable account? Do I take it from my savings first? What do I do with that 401k, right? When do I claim Social Security? That's such a big deal, determining when to claim. How does Medicare look for me, right? How do I pay my taxes? Taxes are going to be very different because now that my employer is not paying it for me out of my paycheck. I got to make sure I file estimated and how much am I got to pay and make sure I don't get in trouble with Uncle Sam. There's a lot of variables here in retirement planning, so make sure you get that right.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking, you mentioned taxes, our last one, tax planning.
Good old Uncle Sam.
You know, a lot of times people kind of know, well, there's different investments and sometimes they know that they're taxed differently. You know, if it comes out of retirement plan, it's taxed one way. If I own a stock and I know I hold it for a long time, then I have something called capital gains. Yeah. There's all these different things that we have to take into account. I want you to think about termites.
Okay.
So termites, if they get into somebody's house and you don't take care of them right away, they literally eat away at the wood. They eat away at the foundation. And the longer you let it happen, the more it'll erode the foundation of your house. It could destroy your house where you have to rebuild it. Taxes are like termites. If you do not get a handle on your taxes, they could literally erode and destroy your retirement plan. You might have to rebuild and let go a lot longer. But if you catch them right away, and you know how to handle them, and you know how to handle the taxes, it's going to be a huge, huge benefit. I mean, just look at the chart. You know, there's three ways that your money can be taxed. You can have it in that left bucket that you have to pay taxes along the way, and there's advantages and disadvantages of that. There's that middle bucket that you avoid all the taxes in the beginning. You put the money in there. It grows tax deferred, and then you can control the taxes when you pay them and it comes out. And then there's that right bucket, which is tax-free. You pay taxes in the beginning, but then eventually it grows and it becomes tax-free. So we want to make sure all the decisions we make and we understand how it's taxed because it can like literally help an extra 1%, 2%, 3% a year. Because if you and I get the same rate of return, but I avoid taxes along the way and we let it grow long enough, I'm going to have hundreds of thousands, sometimes maybe $1 million more than you would just because of the taxes.
Yeah. I didn't know where you're going there with termites, but it makes some sense to me. And for those of you skittish with insects, remember that when it comes to taxes. So big deal. So these are the five pillars, right? And another way to think about it is the five legs of a stool. They all need to work together to hold everything up for
you. It's quite the stool. It's a big five stool. Legs. Normally there are four.
We got four here. We're adding a fifth. So hopefully this was helpful for you. Very, very important. We cover all these over a period of time in our life and consistently revisit them.
Yeah. You could do it on your own. Just make sure you cover each one of these areas. Or again, see someone who's an expert at this, because if you get it down right, if you get these things down right, it literally makes a monster difference.
That's right. That's right. What is financial planning? Those are the five pillars of financial planning. So now that you're very well educated and your notebook is hopefully full, let's shift gears to Ed's food for
thought.
Like it.
Oh, here it is.
We found the hat now.
All right. I knew we were talking about comprehensive financial planning, and I thought to myself, I was like, I gotta think of like an Ed's food for thought that really, really like connects with this, comprehensive, like really good. Like if you get this down, so I thought there's a restaurant out there. I was thinking, what's a restaurant? Well, I don't know about comprehensive, but like it's got it all, like if your experience at this restaurant, in my opinion, is really, really good.
Huh.
It's built in 1928, the building.
Right before the Great Depression.
Yeah. Stained glass windows. It was a church at the time. And now it's been converted. It's been many, many things since 1928. So, we're talking about, almost 100 years, right? It's in downtown Wheaton. You walk in there. The ceilings are vaulted. It's just beautiful in there. The atmosphere is really good. The help, the people who work there, very, very professional. And the food, I've never had a bad meal when I'm there. It's called the Ivy.
Oh.
And it's a little...
I was wondering what you're talking about. I'm like, I feel this sounds familiar, but...
Yeah, we've decided that I'm just not telling James a lot of things. I'm just going to catch him off guard from now on. And the Ivy is... It's not the kind of place you go to all the time, but like when you want to do it right and get everything down, when you want to go see a certified financial planner and do all your financial planning, that's the best way to do it. If you want to go for a great meal where you can have a lot of different types of food, they have great steaks, they have great seafood. Bottom line is if you want a great meal, great experience, you can bring a friend, the whole family. Check out the Ivy.
Wonderful. 100 years old almost. So
yeah.
Good piece of advice there. Well, with all that said, thanks everyone for watching. We'll talk to you next time.
This podcast represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time, should not be relied upon as investment advice, and is not intended to predict or depict performance of any investment. Any specific recommendations or comparisons that are made as to particular securities or strategies are for illustrative purposes only and are not meant as investment advice for any viewer.